our study in 2 Peter, and we'll be looking at 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15, and just the title of this message is Leaving a Legacy, Leaving a Legacy, as Peter continues to teach and to reach out to this church and to encourage them, and just the thought of his legacy, what he would leave. And my question to you before we get started is, what kind of legacy are we leaving? Just a thought and a challenge to us as we begin. I hope you have your Word of God, and whether you have it electronically or the pew Bible, there's some pew Bibles in front of you, don't have it, let's stand, open the Word of God, and let's stand to reverence the reading of it. 2 Peter chapter 1, just we'll be looking at 12 through 15. And so here's what the Word of God says. For this reason, I will not neglect to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, dear God, that you'll touch our hearts with your word. Thank you for the privilege. I pray, God, let your word go forth. Hide me behind the cross for your glory. In Christ's name, and all God's children said, amen. You may be seated. Peter, as he continues in his preaching, and his, and we talked about, really, when we began, if you remember 1 Peter, we talked about this is the key section in understanding this second book. As Peter is, what he's doing, he said, I'm reminding you, I am teaching you, as long as I'm alive, more or less, he said, I want you to know, and how important this would be his last words, and how important last words are to us, and how a lot of times, think about it, some of the last words as your kids are going out the door, parents are always saying, don't forget this, or remember that. We think about how important, or I remember it's not been too long ago, although it's been really long ago, when you're a senior in high school or you're a senior in college, and they're always this speech that you get right before you graduate, right? And it's a challenge before you go out and face the reality of the world. It's this challenge to you, these last words as you're going out to greet the world. And so Peter, these are final words. They communicate important things to us. I remember my dad's last words as he was dying. It was October 10th, 93. I'd spent the night with him because I didn't have any clue that that would be his last night. And the Lord blessed me with that. I was giving Mom a break because she was having to take care of him. And about 11:30 that night, he said, "Son, my mind." That was the last words he ever said to me. But he was letting me know that encephalitis, his kidneys were shutting down, and his system was shutting down. And then the rest of the night, now, I was his brother, and we just had fun, and we run all over the things as young boys. So that was a cool thing to get the experience with him. But, you know, it's important to us as we remember. How I can remember, that's 93. I can remember those words vividly, that they become so important. And so Peter, he's pouring into this church. These are his last words, these challenges. And guess what? That reaches us on this February 16th, 2020, okay? It's real and relevant. He's reaching out to us. He can see down through. These are inspired words of God that he's pinning down. God is filling him, moving him along as he goes. And he's seeing down through the future of the people that would read these very words on February 2020. I'm trying to get it ahead of myself, right? It goes fast enough as it is. I want you to know that any good teacher realizes how repetition is a part of any good teaching process. Listen to this. Research has shown that within an hour after hearing a spoken message, people forget up to 90% of it. Like, dear Lord, that 10% better be pretty important, hadn't it? But that's what that we retain. You know, that's just a little bit that we forget. And so that's why we need reminding constantly. We need reminding constantly, that song that we will remember. We will remember the works of your hand. We remember what you've done for us. And it goes over how we got saved and how the Lord brings. And how is it we need to constantly be reminded? That's why you come out on Sunday mornings and we gather together and we worship. But it's constantly. Listen, this is not something new. Okay? This has been written thousands of years ago. I want you to understand something, please, this morning. And I'll cover this again. That there's no new revelation. You hear something new and say, oh, I've never heard it like that before. If it's not matching up with the Word of God, you better be careful. Can anybody say amen? So we have the Word of God, but listen, we can mine this and dig from this for eternity. It's that good and that deep, and so we can learn from it, and we'll hear new truths as we go along. I'm not talking about new truths from His Word. I'm talking about somebody making up something to fit an agenda. So it can entertain you and tickle your ears. See, we like to be tickled. I don't mean you. I mean we like this. I mean we like to hear new stuff. It's just the way that we're human. We're not. Oh, that's so good. You better be careful if it's not lining up. If it's something brand new that you never heard, you better check it for the truth of God's Word. There's truth there, but I'm going to tell you something. This was because Jude says, "Hey, for the faith of the saints is closed. It's done forever. God doesn't need." This new revelation. He doesn't need people standing up and saying, God said this. If it doesn't line up with this, I don't care what they said, who said it. If it doesn't line up with this, it is not God's Word. Does anybody understand that? You know, you have a lot of people say, well, God told me to do this and God told me to do that. I don't know, maybe it's just pastors that run into that. God told me to do this and it doesn't line up with God's Word. I say, I'm sorry, friend. If it doesn't line up with this, well, I'm really not sorry, because this is God's Word. If it doesn't line up with this, then it's not from the Lord. Did anybody say amen? And so Peter, he's telling them, listen, remember these things. And he's going to give, as you see, his pastoral heart as he's in this legacy and leaving. What does he want to leave behind? And what is he trying to do for this church as he's finishing up? And I want you to see, we see this pastoral passion that he has, and it's going to be revealed in four motivations to them. These motivations for this church as he's seeing his life come to an end. First, I want you to see is this urgency. Look at Verse 12a, when it says this, it says, for this reason, I will not neglect or be negligent to remind you always of these things. Peter says, for this reason. What's he talking about? Well, he's referring back what we've already covered in the first couple sermons of 2 Peter there in chapter 1. Remember, he reminded us of the blessed salvation that we have and what God had done for us and how he had given us his power and his provision and his promise. He gave it, and then as we finished up last week, he gives us blessed assurance. We have this assurance in Christ because it's not, I said this in Sunday school, it's not about what we have done. It's about what he has done and completed on the cross of Christ. And Peter's saying, remember because of this. Peter says, as you look back over your life and you see these truths, he said, because of this, I will not neglect. In other words, he had a purpose, one sole purpose in his life, and that was to remind them of what Jesus had done and what he was doing in their life. You see, here, I would please listen to this. If what Jesus has done is just a past thing for you, he should be proactive in your life daily. What he's doing in your life. It's not just this one time, get it done, and then it doesn't grow and it's not alive. And that's what he's told us. Remember, he's told us about this progressive sanctification that we have growing in him. And so, how dated is our examples of what Jesus has done for us? It'll kind of show you where you're at. He should be vibrant and working and involved in every area of your life today. Today, and so he's letting them know, look, for this reason, and he goes on, because if you remember up in verse 9 of chapter 1, he says this, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and that's remembering what Christ has done and has forgotten what he's been cleansed from, his old sins. Peter said, we have a problem. You know what it is? We forget. Maybe nobody else struggles with that, but boy, I tell you what, it's amazing how I forgot to even do the memory verse today, and we do it every Sunday. Look, sometimes I go in the room. You ever go in the room and you had something you really need to get, and then you get in there and you start thinking about something else? Like, wait a minute, why did I come in here? I had to stop a minute and remember. Is that just me? Okay, I'm just making sure. We sing about these things, about remember. We will remember. Why? We need to see, because if we don't remember, we get short-sighted and we forget what God's delivered us from. We'll have things that we face in our life that are hardship and suffering and troubles that come into our life, and we'll handle it like the rest of the world if we're not careful, because we won't remember what God's already done for us in the past. And if that old song, and I know He'll do it again. He'll do it again, because we're reminded of these things. Look what He's brought us through. And because of that, He'll get you through whatever it is you're facing now. And Peter said, hey, remember these things. And I really truly believe, as he's writing these things and he's facing the end of life, he's thinking about these inspired words going out to encourage us February 16, 2020. It's real and it's relevant. Don't let anybody tell you it doesn't touch my life today. Peter's saying it can touch your life this morning. You can be encouraged, because it's coming from God writing through Peter and saying, look, be comforted, but be urgent. Does your world not demand urgency? As you look around in your world today, does it not demand urgency that we can't just flippantly let it go by? We just need to think about this for a minute and remember. What does this say right here? Huh? Do this in remembrance. Christ knew that we needed something to help us remember, and so we take communion, and we take it on a quarterly basis, but we do that to remember. He knew that we'd be forgetful if we're not careful. And so Peter's saying, look, and he's combating these false teachers that are coming into the church. How do we combat false teachers? How do you know that I'm not teaching you falsely? How? By the Word of God, by the truth. You have it in your hand, and God gives it to you. And you, guess what? You have the same Holy Spirit as I do, and He commands you to know His Word. And we combat false teaching by remembering and knowing the truth. And when somebody comes up here and they preach something heretical, you know something. You know what? Your little red lights go off. Ding, 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 ding. You know what? I don't know. Does anybody else? Always caught my liberal red flag. My little red flag. Ding, 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 ding. That sounds really left to me. And listen, it has nothing to do with left and conservative, liberal and conservative anymore. It has everything to do with biblical or unbiblical. Can I get amen? Let's not label it politically. Biblical or unbiblical. That's how we know. When something's not biblical, it's like your little red flag goes off. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit of God, and Peter's saying, know that if it's contrary to God's beliefs, you know that it's not right. And so he's saying, listen, I'm going to leave here. He knew his life was coming to an end. He's saying, when I leave here, remember these things. Be a student of God's Word. Don't let false teachers, don't let anybody come in and teach you contrary to the God's Word and you not know it. You mean we can be that ignorant? If we don't know His Word, we can be. Many people don't know the truths of God's Word and Scriptures. And so when they hear this interpretation or the truth, they don't know if it's right or not. And sometimes it just sounds good. And they trust the person that's given it. And you should be able to trust, but not to the point that you take the Word of God out of it. Do you understand? Never let a man stand in this pulpit and preach to you that you don't know he's preaching you the truth. And I've heard that. If I'm that guy, send me right out the door with a good old see ya on the way out. Why? Because you don't need my opinions. You don't need me up here preaching politically to you about this is what you should do and that's what you should do. You should do what the Bible says. If somebody lines up biblically, you vote for them. It's that simple. Do you understand? I don't have an agenda that I'm up here driving. I have the Word of God and I have the Spirit of God. And one day I'm going to stand before Him and He's going to judge me for what I did with it. Now, I don't know about you, but that scares the mess out of me. It keeps me what I call in line. You know what I'm talking about, in line? Do you remember when you was young? If you had one of them dads, look. I can still hear it come through the loop sometimes, you know? Did he do that so that I would be scared to death of him? He did it because he kept me in line. and he loved me enough that whenever I chose something, oh, today, this is not politically correct, you wear them out in their little do-nothing, their blessed assurance, okay? They'll learn not to do those things. It's not called child abuse. It's called loving your child. In fact, the scripture says, what, he that spares the rod hates the child, not spoils the child, hates the child. So don't buy into the world, man. I'm not talking about beating kids, never. But you, I tell you what, I got wore out. I got wore out. Mama's listening. Thank you, Mom. I needed more. She listened to me every Sunday. Thank you, son, for such a good sermon. I said, Mama, being Mama, she wore me out. I needed it. I needed more, to be honest with you. She didn't know about half the stuff that I was doing, and I really needed to be wore out. Mama, you don't either. So, yeah, think about this. So, Peter's telling them, listen, there's no new revelation. Jude, that verse in Jude 3 says this. It says, for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Jude 3, he's saying, it's been delivered. We have all this that we need. We have God's Word. And that's all we need. Listen, all who teach and preach Scriptures are reminded people of what God has said in His Word. They're not coming up with new truths. We're unlocking the truths that are already there. What you need is to be reminded. You don't need to be entertained. And Peter's reminding them, listen, he's reminding them that that this Jesus that came into his life, he changed him, did he not? This old fisherman became a fisher of men. But it took a process. Aren't you glad that God's Word just gives us all the process? It wasn't like all of a sudden Peter, I've received Jesus, and I'm this new man and nothing else. No, he stumbled and fell and he put his foot in his mouth and he denied Christ and all that. Aren't you glad, though? Listen, I love, and listen, in Luke 22, 31 and 32, it says this. This is Jesus when he's restored Peter. They went out fishing. He sees Jesus on the beach and he said, Peter, do you love me? Why, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And this is what Jesus says right after that. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demands to have your, well, he desires to sift you is what he says here. Listen, let me read it for you here. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Listen to what Jesus said. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, listen to what he says, strengthen your brethren. So Peter's letting them know, listen, I failed. But I remember the words, and you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, strengthen my brethren. That's what he's doing. He's doing what God told him to do because he knew what it was to be forgiven. Does anybody know what it is to be forgiven? Peter messed up and said, Lord, I'll never deny you. But he did, and God restored him. And he said, listen, when you Satan desires to sift you, but I prayed for you. Listen, when Jesus prays for you, done deal. Done deal. He said, when you come back, Peter, you're going to come back. He hadn't denied him yet in the garden. He hadn't denied him yet, but that was even those things. But you know what he said? He said, Peter, it's going to be okay. He said, just strengthen your brethren. Here he is on the beach after he's denied him. Jesus said, listen, just strengthen them because, listen, you've been forgiven. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. So that was his urgency. Do we have a sense of urgency today? Do we have a sense of urgency that Christ could come back anytime and the world is lost? Second is his kindness. Look at 12b. He says, though you know and are established in the present truth. And so Peter was a kind shepherd. And he said, and he understood, and he's exhibiting this sensitivity towards them, and he's encouraging them. He says, you know and are established in the present truth. Peter says, you know the truth. You know the truth. You have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and you have God's Word. And so you know it. He's encouraging them. He's not just hammering them, but he's saying, you know these things. He's encouraging them in godly virtue that they possess. These recipients of his letters, they had heard the truth preached. They had heard him preach, and they believed it. And he said, you stand firmly. You're established on that, and you stood on it. You know what he's saying? Continue on. Sometimes it's a message that we need today, isn't it? It's difficult to continue on in the face of the reality around us that the world is where it is. Continue on. Why?
It doesn't take God by surprise, and He has a plan, and He's working it out to His glory, folks. And you're a part of that. You're a part of that as His children. And so Peter's encouraging them, and he's saying, just faithfulness in the present truth. These Christians that he's talking to are standing in the face of persecution, and they're standing on the God's truth and His Word. And he's saying, continue to stand, no matter how bad it gets. Can I get an amen? Continue to stand. Why? Listen, it's the truth of God. And if the world sacrifices truth, that doesn't mean that you have to. That doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice truth. Do you understand? You make your stand in Jesus' name and in His love. Stand firm. And Peter's telling them, continue to stand. He's not doubting that they're genuine and maturing believers. He's just saying, continue on. Continue on. He's affirming them. He's reminding them in this kindness and in view of all the threats that would be infiltrating around them and the false teacher. He's saying, listen, remember the truth that you already have. Church, what an encouragement to us. And in February 16, 2020, remember the truth that you already have. Don't let the world make you question your truth. There's so many here and so many of us that would scratch our head when we asked you about issues, real issues that are all around us, and we wouldn't know where we stand. And why do we not know where we stand is because we don't know the Word of God. The Word of God answers all of them, okay? And so we don't have to know. All we have to do is know the Word of God. And when we stand on the Word of God, we can say, this is why we do. Because you know what? It is written. Everything else is relative. Where does it come from? It's a whole hodgepodge in a Pandora's box. If it's not based on truth, what is it based upon? Man's truth, man's knowledge, and what he's done. How have we done with that, by the way? You always have to say that. How's that working out for us? If we reject the truth, this is what you get. Chaos, people that hate one another. That's not God's truth. Rest in the truth that you already have. That's His kindness. And then look at His next is His faithfulness. Look at verse 13. Yes, He says, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding you. Peter lived with Jesus and was recognized as one of the leaders of the church. And he had lived closer and in constant proximity to God on earth. Now, think about that for a moment. He had seen divine truth lived out in the man and the God of Jesus Christ. Yet, as his followers and apostles, they didn't fully understand. Then even up to the last, listen, John 14:9. That's getting towards the end. Listen to what Jesus says. Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me? He's not talking to this whole big crowd. He's talking to the 12. Those that are close with him. He said, have I been with you so long that you still don't grasp it? Because they were men, just like the rest of us. They had just a taste of it till the Holy Spirit came. They really didn't grasp it, did they? Peter gets shot down by some little peasant girl in the garden, but when the Holy Spirit comes, he stands up in the midst of the crowd and he proclaims God's word to the very ones that had crucified Christ. You know what he said? You crucified him! What happened? Holy Spirit, that comforter, that paraclete. When Jesus ascends, he sends the comforter, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes through these men, and they turn the world upside down. Peter had denied the Lord, but you know what? Here it is that God had restored him, and he needed that constant shepherding, just like we all do, to protect us, what, from wandering into sin. Is anybody else? Maybe you don't struggle with it. Every day. You know what? Never takes a day off. Every day I get up, it's waiting on me. Why? Because it's me. It's me. Do you grasp that? Your greatest enemy is you. Because it's flesh. It's surrounded by flesh. Now, there's a Holy Spirit that dwells within me. It can combat that. But again, my greatest enemy is me and my fighting against my old temptations and sins and flesh. And that's the battle. But aren't you glad that Jesus understood that? He understood that. He makes his way. And Peter, you know what? Peter's modeling his faithfulness, and he's teaching his people what God's given him. He's not saying, look at me, I'm so perfect. He knew his background. None of us are perfect in this room, okay? And I don't care what you've done or where you come from or your background. How great that it is, none of us are perfect. We all needed Jesus. We are all born into sin. We all needed a Savior. We're born that way. Your kids need a Savior. And Peter's letting them know, listen, I'm not saying, hey, they could look back and say, well, I messed up royally. Could he not say that? But you know what? I'm saved mightily. Woo! I messed up royally as a sinner, but I am saved mightily. And Peter said, don't follow the example of Peter in the flesh, but follow the example of Peter and the Holy Spirit of God and what he can do through forgiveness. If you're fighting something in your past this morning, I want you to know something. You can be forgiven. Don't care what it is. Forgiven. And Jesus can use you as an example. Look right here what he's doing and how he's speaking to us this morning through his word. Through a guy that had failed miserably, and yet look where he's at. Boy, aren't you glad that Christ does that? He dusts us off. He gives us a new life in him. He applies his blood to us and the righteousness of God, and nothing can take that away. That's what he's reminding them of. Don't you let some false teacher come in and try to teach you any differently. That's what he's telling them. Because, listen, he wants them to be clear-minded, and he wants them to know the spiritual issues that will come and to know when it's not right. And no matter how divine this truth or the believers that they had heard is spiritual, he said, you have to remember, you still have to be ready, you still have to be on guard, because we need this reminder of the truth, and we need to be reminded of what Christ has done, and we need to be reminded of the battle. Realizing, listen, that familiarity can breed contempt. Peter knew what it's like to fall asleep. Did he not? Peter, come pray with me. Jesus facing the cross. What did he do? He fell asleep on him in the garden. And he knew what it's like to fall asleep. But he knew that if we didn't keep our eyes on the cross and going forward, it's easy to get lethargic. It's easy to get complacent. It's easy just to go through the motions. And Peter saying, don't do it. Because, I experienced that. And you don't have to do that if you keep your eyes on him. He's calling out of this spiritual alertness. Failing to be alert. I'm just wondering sometimes if that's not our greatest problem. It's just being alert. Not being sluggish. Just going through the motions. And when we do that, we feel so distant. You do that when you get in that just going through the routine, you feel so distant, don't you, from God. But then when you realize, listen, Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. It seems it's almost like you're empowered and God's presence becomes so real in our lives again. And we operate not all ourselves, but we operate to bring Him glory in all that we do. And Peter's saying, remember. Why is he so urgent? Why does he have this encouragement? Listen to this last, because of his brevity. 14 and 15. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. You know what? Peter knew that he's drawing to a close. Curtain's getting ready to close, and he knew that. It's his final passion and motivation for the ministry. It includes this. Listen, it's brief, and life is brief, and your life is brief, and we get older and older and older as the hours click off and the days go by. And he said, don't waste your life. Don't waste it on the things of this world, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent. Peter knew his time was drawing near. Jesus on that beach, you remember, don't you, when he's talking to him and Peter's finally restored and he's saying, hey, God's saying, listen, Peter, you know, I prayed for you. You're restored, but one of these days you're going to get old and they're going to lead you. You're going to go to some place that you don't want to be. And they're going to stretch out your hand. And he's really telling Peter, this is how you're going. You're going to die, but you're going to die glorifying me. Don't you know that's had to be a relief to Peter after he had denied all these things. And he said, I'm going to put off. I'm going to lay aside this tent. And so these words, listen to John 21, 18 and 19. John 21, 18 and 19. Most assuredly, this is Jesus talking to Peter, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And the scripture says, this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God, Peter. And when he had spoken these things, he said to him, follow me again. Follow me. Jesus' words were a prediction of Peter's martyrdom. Peter would be executioned. And listen, specifically, stretch out his hands marking towards crucifixion, just like the Lord. Listen, Eusebius in his Ecclesiastical Histories attests that Peter was crucified and upside down at his request because he felt unworthy to die as Christ had died. So this is a man, he's saying, these are my last words. Time is running out. I'm going to be crucified like my Lord, except I'm not going to be crucified like him. Turn me upside down. Now, I'll tell you what, that's a man that got it. Do you not think so? This is not a man that's denying. This is not a man that's squeamish to some girl by a fire barrel in the garden. This is a man that's standing on God's word, and he said, listen, take my life, but don't you take it this way, because I'm not worthy of dying the way that my Lord did. Because listen to me closely. Life is short. Share the gospel. Life is short. Share the gospel. Don't be an old man or old woman one day saying, I wish I'd have done this for the Lord, or I wish I'd have done that. You don't get too old, by the way, to work for the Lord. Moses was 85 years old when he led the children of Israel out. Think about that. These are wonderful truths. And you know what he's saying? Be careful. Ensure that you have this salvation. Ensure that you have this assurance. And then you know what he's saying? Live it well, church. Live it out well in the midst of a world that points their finger at you and accuses you. You know what he says? Just live the truth in love with a big old smile on your face. Why? Life is short. Life is short, and God's commanded us to carry the gospel. Applications, and we'll be done. Number one, what will your legacy statement be? What's your legacy statement? Well, Mom and Dad, they left me plenty of land, a lot of money, and all this thing. Is that what you want to leave behind? Let's just be honest. What's our legacy statement? Sometimes we think that's the most important thing. I'm not knocking that to do those things. I'm just saying if that's the most important thing you're leaving behind, you're missing it. It's Christ and the name of Christ. And that's the only thing that's going to stand in eternity, because that land will be gone, that money will be gone, that insurance will be gone. That car that you love so dearly, be gone. Not Betsy. Yep. That's what you're leaving, you're missing it. Teach them Christ. Teach them about Christ. Number two, how are you ensuring that those the Lord has given you are reminded of his truth? How are you ensuring that those that the Lord has given you are you reminding of the truth? How are you reminding them? How are you teaching them about Jesus? The book of Deuteronomy says, when I rise in the morning, everywhere I walk, wherever I go, I'm teaching them about Jesus. I'm pointing them to Christ. Boy, that's a new thing in today's world. What we teach them, we're teaching them how to, hey, this is how you get ahead. Do those grades. Keep those A's. You want to do that? Are you doing it under the Lord? It's all right if it's under the Lord. But we push them in the same mold that we've fallen in, and we don't understand why the world don't change in Jesus' name. Ensure Christ is the center of everything. Make a difference in their life. Number three, life is short. Are you investing in eternity? Let's stand on our feet. Are you investing in eternity? How do I do that, Brother David? One thing, I spend my time with Jesus. And then I spend my time living out what he's called me to do. That's how I invest in eternity. How do I lay up treasures in heaven? Listen, there's only going to be two things there that's in this room. Two. You say, what, two? Yep, the Word of God and the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Close your eyes before the Lord. Nobody looking around. This is just between you and God. Do you have that relationship with Christ? Is that your legacy, that you know that you have Christ in your heart and your soul? Because that's the only thing that's going to matter one of these days. Is Christ in your life? Or is Satan beating you up about a past that you think that God can't forgive you? That's a life out of the pit. God can forgive you of anything and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, it says. Same thing works with his children. If Satan's beating you up on some way you've stumbled, 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't you let Satan tell you lies in your ear when you know the truth. What does God want from you this morning? Is Christ the most important thing in your life? Is he? What kind of legacy are you leaving your family? What kind of legacy are you leaving? What will somebody get up here and say when you're laying down here in front of a box? Hopefully only one thing. He loved Jesus, and Jesus was in his life. The rest of it don't matter. What's God saying to you? Altar's open. We ain't going to tarry long. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. You know what he did? He washed it white as snow. Anybody need to be saved today? Altar's open. Anybody need to just come down and say, you know what, Lord? I've lost my focus. I'm out of whack. I'm caught up in the things of the world. What's God saying to you? Just a few minutes. Don't be disobedient. Look here. If you don't know Christ, you talk to me, please. Don't you leave here without Jesus. Or at least understanding what it is when I say, knowing about if you have Christ or not. It's a salvation that comes only through him and receiving him for your sin. I'd love to talk. You've got plenty of time to do that. Not in no hurry. Because that's the most important thing. Nobody leaves here without knowing. At least knowing that you're saved. And have a relationship with Christ. Because you don't have to walk an aisle to get saved. It's not in that walking and all. It sure does. It does honor God by doing that. But you can get saved right where you're saying it. And all you do is say, you know what? I know I don't have Christ. I need to receive him. And I'm asking him to forgive me. And the scripture says all those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But you're going to let somebody know and there's going to be a change in your life. That's what Peter's been telling us about the last few sermons. But tonight, 5:30, come on out and have a good time in the Lord. You know, God's people can have a good time. They can have a good time. Come on out and support our youth. And it's a great thing to do. And I love you. Any way that I can help you, please know that I'm here. And I love you. I want to see God do something great and mighty right here in Todd and around, all around in the world. I want to see him make a difference in this world before he comes back, because life's brief. Brevity of life. Wayne closes.